Our lesson today is to be found in the book of Genesis, chapter 18 and 19. We left off speaking to you last week how that Sarah, when she was made known that she would have a child, she laughed and she said, "Shall I bear a child who am old?" When she laughed, I said it was a laugh of unbelief. She didn't believe the word that the Lord spake unto Abraham concerning this child that she was to have. And she was in the tent. And now the Lord knew that she laughed. Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, of a surety, shall I bear a child who am old?" And when she heard the Lord speak like this to Abraham, she became afraid. She realized that this person that was speaking knew what went on in her heart and in her mind, and that she couldn't conceal this. And still, she says, she denied. She did not laugh. But she was caught in the act of laughing, and instead of admitting that she was sinning against God, she sinned further and said, "I did not laugh." Just like us sometimes, if we're caught in the act, we're most apt to say we didn't do it. But just like with Eve and with Adam, similar are we, and so was Sarah in this respect. But now the Lord spake unto Abraham and said, "Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Of a surety, at this time of thy life, thou shalt have a son." But the Lord then questioned Abraham and Sarah as if there was anything too hard for him. He had said to Abraham, and he had appeared unto him and said, "I am the Almighty God." It was as if he said to Abraham, "Abraham, I said to you, I am the Almighty God. Do you think that I lack power to do as I have promised? Do you think that I would go back on my word, that I say things and would not do it? Do you think that I would break my covenant with you and alter that which I have spoken unto you?" But the Lord in this speaking, "Is there anything too hard for the Lord?" questions Abraham and reveals his power and his might and his glory in these words, that there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Does he not control all things? Does he not open the womb and shut it? Is he not able to do anything? Is there anything, any difficulty that would be too much for him? My hearers, there are things that are too hard for the Lord. What do you think they are? What would be too hard for the Lord to do? In the first place, it would be too hard for him to sin, wouldn't it? He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. For the Lord is without sin and without iniquity. Another thing that the Lord could not do is to tell a lie. He's just and he's true and he's faithful. For there is no iniquity to be found in God, and neither doth he deceive or speak things that he shall not do. For the Lord likewise can never be sorry for anything that he has done, for he knows from the beginning to the end what shall take place, and he controls all things. Another thing that would be an impossibility for the Lord to do would be to die. He is the everlasting God, from everlasting to everlasting, and he is the one that gives life to each and every one of us. Every creature lives through him, and it would be an impossibility for him to die. And now the Lord says, "Is there anything too hard for the Lord?" And there may be some listening to me that are just like Sarah. Sarah, she couldn't believe that she was going to have a child. She was too old. And it may be that you've been seeking the Lord for years and years, and you've got old. And you say, "I'll never find what I'm seeking after. I've been seeking Jesus." And sometimes the voice rises up in me, "You'll never find what you're seeking after. You'll never get what you're asking God for." Just like Sarah, she says she couldn't have no child. It's an impossibility. And now It may be that you have come to the house of God too, and you have heard from Scripture and from the teaching of the Word something of your own experience explained, which you have experienced years ago. And in that experience, there was a promise that you most certainly would receive in due time what you had been asking God for. But there came a voice of unbelief up in you and said, "Nah, that's too great, that's too much for me. I'll never have that. Look how long I've been seeking and crying and begging, and here I am. Now shall I have that? Nah." And maybe the devil comes in and says, "You'll never get it either," and you believe it. All my hearers, for the Lord may come to you with the same words as he did to Abraham and Sarah and say, "Is there anything too hard for the Lord?" Don't you think that he knows your condition? Don't you think that he can grant you what you've been seeking after? Oh yes, you that seek the Lord. He said to Sarah, "At this time of life I will appear unto thee, and thou shalt have pleasure." And may I say it to you, at the appointed time of life, the Lord will appear to you. He has an appointed time, and then he will come, and he will speak unto you, and he will give you the desires of your heart. "Yea, ye that seek the Lord, your heart shall live forever. Fear not, he most certainly will fulfill whatever he has spoken in your heart." Oh, there may be some that have difficulties in providential matters, and it seems almost an impossibility that you will be able to get out of it. But you even say sometimes, "I don't even think God could bring me out of it." Oh, how we measure God. My hearers, there isn't anything too hard for the Lord. And there may be that you have somebody that's sick, that's afflicted, that's probably at death's door. And you see all the traces of death coming, and also you say, "Soon the end will come." But we know not. Is not the Lord able to ransom from the grave? Is there anything too hard for him? It may seem to us to be an impossibility, but there's nothing too hard for him. And then there may be some listening to me that have come under the truth all their life, and they must say, "I'm just like I was. Nothing ever touched my heart. Nothing ever came from God. And I'm afraid I'm going to go on and live this way, and I'm going to die this way, and I'll have to appear before God, and it'll be lost forever with me." Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for him to do in your heart? I'll take God's children as a witness. And they have hearts just like yours. And sometimes their hearts are so hard and so steeped with sin that they think it's all wrong. And they remain that way. And then suddenly God breaks that hard and that stony and that rocky heart. How many times has he done that for you, under the truth? You that know something thereabouts? Hasn't he melted you into contrition? Hasn't he come also at times when it seemed an impossibility for you to believe? Hasn't he come and given you a crumb of faith which overcame all your unbelief and all your fears and all your doubts? There isn't anything too hard for God. Oh, may I direct you to him. And may you be given to plead before him and say, "Lord, here is a sinner, such a hard-hearted sinner, such a wretched sinner, such an unworthy sinner. And there isn't anything too hard for thee. Won't you save me, Lord?" Oh, could I entreat every one of you to come to him in this way. And you may find how able and how willing he is and how mighty he is to save. Nothing too hard for the Lord, my hearers. And now these angels that were speaking unto Abraham They arose and they started to leave. And two of them, they had their faces toward Sodom. But we find Abraham, he escorted them from his tent and he brought them on their way. And when they were going to leave, he stood before one of them, namely the Lord, the angel of the covenant. And the angel spake and said, "Shall I conceal from Abraham or hide from Abraham that which I shall do? Knowing that Abraham shall become a great people and a mighty nation, and knowing that Abraham shall keep the way of truth, and that likewise he will teach his household and his family, and they likewise will do justice and righteousness." For the Lord then speaks, "What shall become of Abraham and of his seed?" And he fully knew well that Abraham would likewise keep up true religion in his home, teach his seed, and that his seed likewise would continue therein, and that out of his seed would come the Lord Jesus Christ, and that in him all nations of the earth would be blessed. And therefore, the Lord going to tell Abraham a secret. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And many times God discloses things to his people that he does not disclose to others. Those that have communion and connection with God and his favorites are given to know things that others do not. And now the Lord speaks and says, "Shall I hide from Abraham that which I shall do? The cry of Sodom has come up before me, and therefore I am come down to see whether the cry that I have heard is true, and whether they have repented of their sins, and if not, then I shall know." And God then discloses unto Abraham why he had come down, that he was going to go to these cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, these wicked cities, and that this cry was a cry for wrath, a cry for justice and for judgment. These people were living in open sin. They were living in the sin of sodomy. Men with men, living in the lust of the flesh and doing those things that were unseemly. And now this cry had come up to God, and God could not bear with the iniquities of these cities any longer. And now he discloses to Abraham what he was going to do. And we find Abraham, he's moved with pity, moved with compassion. Oh, he thinks about his brother's son, Lot, who is living in Sodom. And he thinks maybe there are others living in those cities that are righteous people, that are not committing the sins that the other people are doing. And he stands before the Lord and he begins to plead. He becomes an intercessor for those that were dwelling in Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, my hearers, we see in the heart of Abraham something of God. If you and I know of certain places that are nothing else but brothels of sin, and that there isn't any person in those places that fear God or even pray to God anymore, and we hear that God is going to punish them, we would say just, righteous. That's what they deserve. But that wasn't the way with Abraham. Abraham, he became an interceder for these people. And he prayed and asked God that if there were 50 righteous in these cities, would he not spare it? It was not like God to destroy the righteous with the wicked. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Abraham is pleading upon the righteousness of God, that God does not destroy the wicked with the righteous. Sometimes in the calamities of life, the righteous are taken away just as well as the wicked. This happens many times. But in this instance, no. that there was only one righteous person in the city of Sodom, and that was Lot. And God brought him out. And this is a type, my hearers, of the great day of judgment, when every person shall be standing before the throne of God, and then God will make a distinction between the righteous and the wicked. Abraham stands pleading before God. And now when he is pleading, God says that if there were 50 righteous in the city, he would spare the whole city for those 50. And now Abraham, he comes nearer to God and says, perhaps there lacketh 5. But wilt thou destroy it for the lack of 5? And the Lord said, no, if I find 45 in those cities, I will spare it for their sake. All my hearers, Abraham speaks unto God and says, although I am but dust and ashes, I have spoken unto the Lord. Oh, when we consider how Abraham felt, he felt himself to be but dust and ashes. Oh, he was in the presence of that Almighty God, and he felt that he was nothing, that he was but dust. Have you ever felt that, my hearers? Have you ever been brought into the presence of God and given to feel your nothingness, your sinfulness? Oh, Abraham, he was standing before him in this respect. Oh, to have something of this in our hearts and to be brought there every day of our life is a good place, for then we are in the right place. Oh, to be but dust and ashes. Abraham is praying to God, and we read that the effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh, my hearers, many of the ungodly realize not that because that there is yet a remnant that have connection with heaven, that are given to pray and to intercede for the places and for the countries in which they dwell, that they are yet spared. And that God in his long suffering even leads many to true conversion and leads them back to himself because of the prayers of the righteous that are in those places. Believe me, my hearers, for that remnant, although they be but few, if they may be in this country, they are better than our army, better than our navy, better than all the fortifications that we have to fight against the enemy. Oh, if we have some of these corps, we call them in Holland, oh, what a mercy that upon them this country is yet resting, and for that remnant God is pleased yet to spare and to forbear. Oh, my hearers, this teaches us likewise that you and I should stand before God. Have you a wife that isn't converted? Have you a husband that isn't converted? Have you children? Have you brothers, sisters? Oh, how necessary to stand before God, knowing that the wrath of God is to come down upon them if they are not born again, if they have not a new life. How necessary to stand before God and plead that he would look upon them in mercy, and that he would come into their hearts with his blessed Spirit, and that he would turn them away from their sins and their iniquities. Oh, my hearers, what a mercy if you are related to somebody that is godly. What a mercy it was that Lot had a brother, Abraham, praying and interceding for him. Have you such? Oh, esteem them. Love them. Oh, may you be given to do well unto them. Abraham then, he continues praying, and he brings it down to the lowest point. He brings it down to 10. And after he had brought it down to that point, and then we read that the Lord went up from Abraham and did not commune with him anymore. You would say, well, why didn't Abraham continue praying? My hearers, if you are ever given a solemn season of being brought nigh to God, and praying to him, having his ear, having his heart. Ah, they're sweet times, my hearers. But it pleases God to withdraw himself. And then you may want to continue. You may want to pray and say, boy, it was so good there. Oh, I wish that this would remain, but it don't. The Lord, he leaves off communing with his people. And Abraham returned to his place. And so we likewise. And we may want you, we may try to, but there's no connection, there's no communion with God anymore. So it was with Abraham. The Lord went up from him. And my hearers, when God has it in his purpose to destroy, then no prayer can save that place. Jeremiah was told in his time, pray not for this people, lift not up thy voice for them. And so it was here. Abraham's prayer was heard, but Sodom was not spared. The Lord left off communing with Abraham. And then we read in the next chapter that two angels came unto the city of Sodom at eventime, and Lot was sitting in the gate. These two angels were the same two angels that had been by Abraham. And when Lot seen these two strangers coming in the distance, he ran to meet them. He fell down before them and he prayed them that they would come into his house and wash their feet and stay with him and go on their journey the next day. Lot did not know the purpose of these two angels. He did not know that God had sent them to destroy this city. But he went to meet them. And they were entirely different than the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah. He seen on their faces that they were honest, that they were sober men. And he liked to talk to them. And he entreated them that they would come into his house. He had been sitting in the gate of the city. He had taken a walk in the evening, and he was sitting there, and he was looking over the plain, and he was watching his cattle grazing there. And then he seen these men coming. And he invited them into his house. But they refused. They said they would stay in the street of the city at night. Now this was customary, my hearers. When travelers in the East came to certain places, they didn't just have hotels and houses like we have that you can go into, but they had what they call caravans. And there they abode for the night. And these two men said that they would stay in the street of the city for the night. But Lot, he knew the inhabitants of Sodom. He knew what kind of people they were, how wicked they were, and therefore he didn't want these two men to stay there. He pressed on them very greatly to come into his house, and they went with him. And he made a feast for them, and he baked unleavened cakes, and they were eating in his house. And now before they retired for the night, we find that the men of the city of Sodom gathered round about the house where these men had entered into. Young and old, a riotous mob of people gathered round the house of Lot. And they cried and said, Lot, where are those two men that came in to you this evening? Bring them out, that we may know them. Oh, my hearers, to what a pitch of wickedness was this place come to. For these men, they were seeking after these two men to molest them, to fulfill their fleshly lust upon them. And now when they cried to Lot in this way, Lot came out of the door, and he shut the door behind him. And he spake unto them and said, brethren, do not so wickedly. Probably he had spoken like this many times to them, but they ignored him. The Apostle Peter says that this righteous man, hearing their conversation and watching what they were doing, oh, he was so grieved with it. And now he speaks to them that they shouldn't do so wickedly. And now, my hearers, For this man Lot, he made a rash statement. He says, I have two daughters, he says, they're virgins, he says, who have not known men. He says, I will bring them out to you, he says, and you can do to them as you wish, he says. But these two men that are in my house, leave them, he says, do not touch them. Lot should have never made this statement, my hearers. He must have been excited. He didn't know what he was talking about. To offer his two daughters to such a mob of men, it was ridiculous. He should have stood up and protested against them, regardless of what they would have done to him. But he'd done this, as I said, in a fit of excitement, and he knew not what he said. And now they said to him, what? You come here to be a judge of us? Are you going to tell us what to do? And they came near unto this man Lot. And they treated him very badly. He was manhandled, and they were going to take him and use him. And he was by the door. And now these two angels, they opened the door, and they pulled Lot in. And they shut the door. And they smote these people that were outside of the door with blindness, so that they groped for the door. They couldn't find the door. They kept seeking to find the door, but they became weary in seeking to find the door. We have another place in Scripture where I think Elijah or Elisha, he prayed likewise to God when they came to take him prisoner. And the people were smitten with blindness, and they couldn't find the door either. And now these people, they were young and old outside of the door. Just consider that, my hearers. What kind of people they were in this city. To what a height of sin and iniquity had these people risen. But God had richly blessed these people here. They lived in the fertile plain, and they had become wealthy. And their riches had got the best of them. You often see that in life. When God blesses people with wealth and riches, then they use it to their own destruction. Just as we read in Psalm 73, their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than their heart could wish. They lift up their tongue against the heaven, and they speak loftily. Oh, my hearers, these are the wicked, these are the ungodly. And then Asaph, he was given to see the end of these creatures, how that God in a moment sets them upon slippery paths, and that in a moment they are brought to destruction. See it here in this city of Sodom. These angels, they spake unto Lot, and they said, Lot, have you any relatives in this city? Have you any son-in-laws, any daughters? Go to them. Tell them we are sent by God to destroy this city, and tell them to get out of this city with you, lest they be consumed in the iniquity of this city. And Lot must have went out immediately. It was probably midnight. And he went to his sons-in-law's houses, and he spake unto them and said, up, get out of the city, because God is going to destroy it. Did they listen to him? Well, they thought he was out of his mind. They mocked with him. They didn't listen to his voice. You see, Lot believed it, but they didn't. Lot had a message for them from God, but they ignored it. Oh, my hearers, may I, as a Lot, intercede with you. Do you believe that you will be destroyed? How many times haven't you been warned? How many times haven't you been admonished? And in love told to leave your sinful ways and to return unto the Lord, for if you do not, you most certainly will be destroyed. All their people in Nineveh, they were given 40 days. But these people, they were only given a little space of time. They had to get up right away. And my hearers, you may say, well, I don't know when I'm going to die. You may put the evil day far from you, but you know not that God might require your soul this very night. And all what will become of you? Oh, that you would listen to the poor pleadings of a poor sinner who realizes that you must appear before that great and glorious God, and it may be yet tomorrow. Oh, may you flee, flee for your life's sake. Turn ye, wherefore will ye die, my hearers? In all honesty and in all sincerity, I bring this to you. I wish to be free of your blood, my hearers. There is yet time, we know not how long. But God speaks to you, and it's through this poor instrument that you should turn from your evil ways, and that you may be saved. Oh, seek the Lord while he is yet to be found. Call upon him while he is yet near. You're going to do just like these people, just like the son-in-laws of Lot and his daughters. You're going to mock with it. And you continue on doing that, my hearers. Oh, woe be unto you. Then God will mock when your calamity cometh. He will mock when your fear cometh. Oh, what an awful eternity awaits you. To ignore the pleadings of God and to go on in your sins will be much worse. These son-in-laws and daughters of Lot, they did not listen to him. And he returned. And when the morning arose, we find that the angels hastened Lot and said to him, haste and flee to the mountains. Take your wife and your two daughters with you before ye be consumed in the iniquity of these cities. And my hearers, Lot, he lingered. Lot, a righteous man, being told to haste, he lingered, it says. His heart was so attached to Sodom. He had so many possessions there. He had so many cattle there. He had children there. Or he lingered, it says. He trifled in a way with what they had told him. How many times have you done that? Maybe you're trifling with what I'm saying to you this afternoon. You may trifle, my hero, but it's in all love to your immortal soul, believe me. I'm seeking your eternal welfare. Lot, a righteous man, he lingered. Oh, his heart was so attached to Sodom. How many of God's dear children find themselves to be so? How worldly they are, how carnal they are. How attached to the things of time and sense. And now this great God in heaven above, he told one of the angels to take hold of Lot's hand. And he took hold of Lot's hand and of his wife's hand and of his daughter's hand, and he led him out of the city. Oh, the kindness of this great God in heaven above towards Lot. Believe me, he would have stayed there and he would have perished in it. That's how attached he was yet to that city. And my hearers, we have in this the wonderful grace of God revealed in Lot, taking him by the hand and leading him out of the city that was to be destroyed. All the kindness of this God. My hearers, has God taken you by the hand? Has he led you out of the city of destruction? Has he given you to see that if you continued on in your sins, you would perish with the world? And have you been given to justify God and say, righteous art thou, if thou did consume me? But has he in mercy taken you by the heart and by the hand and led you out of the city? Oh, my hearers, what a wonder of grace you are. Oh, how good and kind has that God been to you? What maketh you different? Why has he done that to you? Because he loved you. Because you were one of his children. Because he had his eye upon you. Therefore, he took you by the hand and led you out of this world to himself. Oh, my hearers, you likewise would have remained in it. You loved it too. You were wallowing in it. You never would have come out of it, but God took you by the hand and brought you out. Thanks be to him for his kindness, for his love, and for his mercy to you. My time is gone, my hearers. I would like to continue our lesson, but this concludes the lesson for today. The Lord bless the feeble teachings of his word to your immortal souls. That's all.